Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right. You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. When it comes to this matchup, Sunday Night Football, Texans versus the Bears, Liberty Wideout. Make sure you got your Liberty Wide. Make sure you handle your parking ahead of time, because on Sunday you will not be able to do that. Get ahead of it.
Get your butt there early too, man.
Yeah, that is
CJ
true.
CJ wants that too.
CJ wants you to be
there early
in the seats. He says there's no reason except for maybe traffic, but even then, that doesn't answer the question there. But yeah, make sure you're there early. But with that game, once you're in your seats, once you're parked in your seats, in your Liberty White, watching the game, what challenge does that Bears defense pose? We got some responses from both CJ, the quarterback of your team, and D'Amico Ryans, the leader of the defense, and obviously the leader of the team himself. But before we get there, we have had, we've gotten a little bit of a note that is interesting from Texans practice today, which is that starting tight end Dalton Schultz is not practicing again after he didn't practice yesterday due to an ankle injury.
Yeah, and you know the drill here, and it's common across the NFL. The Texans do subscribe to this. Let's see if we can get on the field tomorrow, at least for the walkthrough tomorrow, because generally speaking, if you don't practice during the weekend, you don't practice by Friday, you're not going to play. And, you know, rather have Dalton Schultz than not.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean, it is nice that you feel strong about this wide receiving core, particularly when you talk about Brevin Jordan and Cade Stover, tight end group. I have to say wide receiving core. This tight end group with Brevin Jordan, Cade Stover, that you'll be fine. But I think, as you mentioned, you'd much rather have him there than not. Every one of these tight ends, as has been mentioned, they provide something a little bit of different, and altogether they give you like the full range of tight end experience. But, you know, not having Dalton would be tough. I think that put a little bit more on Cade Stover. I think Brevin obviously will get out there and routes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would maybe make it almost entirely Cade Stover dealing with fullback type duties, those types of things. And so I think that would be interesting to watch for sure. Clearly today he's not practicing, Dalton Schultz that is, and then tomorrow, as you mentioned, we'll have to keep an eye on that to see if maybe he'll get himself ready for a Sunday night.
Yeah, and Stover, you know, I'm not going to lie, I want Dalton Schultz to play, as we just talked about, but I would be very interested to see with him as in that role. Now, he had a very significant role. Does it take away from some of the things he's done as a fullback and such? So definitely something to keep an eye on as you go into that game.
Yeah, that's a good point. Is if Stover is now in that, you know, more of those two
Brevin
tight end packages, Brevin Jordan, I do wonder, does that then bring British Brooks back into the fullback mix a little bit more?
Yeah.
Man who looked like he has some violent football ready to escape his body in week one. Maybe that he can get into the fullback thing of it all, because we talked about that quite a bit leading into the season. All right. But what challenge does this Bears defense pose against your Houston Texans? Obviously, D'Amico Ryans talked to the media yesterday. He was asked about this Bears defense, specifically the defensive backfield. What problems might they cause? This D'Amico 13 figgy once you get it. Because, I mean, obviously, a defensive head coach is one of the benefits of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that he's going to have some level of, he'll be able to break down those defenses and be able to give you some insight into it. So here is D'Amico Ryans doing just that.
The Bears defense backfield, they take the ball away, right? It's really impressive the way they attack the football, right? Both of their corners, you know, last week ended up with picks to game-changing plays to give them the lead there and to end the game. So we have to understand that those guys are ball hawks, and we have to protect the football. So that's what they present. And then their linebackers as well, opportunistic, Edmonds and Edwards, two guys who are long, athletic guys, and if you're around the ball, if it's close to them, they can find a way to get the football as well. So that's where their defense have thrived, and that's where we have to make sure we're protecting it on our side with everything that we have.
You know, I think the Bears defense kind of gives you the same look, same, I guess, vibe as the Colts. You know, I like their defensive front. Their front seven, of course, are pretty dang strong. He said opportunistic, and I'm not saying, you know, they're not. But, you know, one of those interceptions was just given to them.
Yeah, real nonsense.
It was just given to them. Their defensive front is going to have a little Colts sort of feel to it as well.
Yeah, that was immediately where I was going to go, is how much do you feel about this defense from the Bears? How much do you feel is kind of inflated because they were facing off against the Tennessee Titans and Will Levis, who 19 of 32, 127, one touchdown, but two interceptions for Will Levis against this defense.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna downplay their defense, because their defense, the Bears are so, fans especially, are just so tired of the defense bailing out the offense.
And that was what week one was.
Exactly what happened.
Like that game was won by that defense.
Yeah, no question. And the secondary did create the plays, including the pick six there. But the defensive front, like the Titans didn't even get over the 50-yard line in the second half. Like they were squashing these guys. And the newcomer they have, Daryl Taylor, had two sacks. You know, that's what I'm feeling is like if you can have – it's another huge test for this Texans offensive line. If they back up last week with another effort like that against the Bears front, then we're going to be really on to something with this offensive line.
Let's hear D'Amico Ryans go and give his thoughts just on the full defense of the Bears, not just the defensive backfield.
Yeah, their defense does a really good job of working together. Right? They do a great job of mixing it up front with their line stunts and the backers fitting well off of it. Also, the coverages, they do a good job of disguising and mixing them up. So, you know, you can't predetermine. You got to play to play out and see what they're giving us and see how they want to attack us, you know, come Sunday. But, you know, we're preparing as best as we can for it, and we'll see what happens on Sunday.
Yeah, I feel good about that, you know, I guess, description of what the defense is. I mean, again, talking about the mixing up the coverages, mm-hmm. I don't know that I'd have a better quarterback or a quarterback that I feel more confident in this time in the NFL than C.J. Stroud. Yeah. I think that it also pairs nicely with D.J. Bien-Ami ESPN, rather, covering your Texans, wrote a nice piece about C.J. earlier in the week, actually, I think a day or two, actually yesterday, it dropped yesterday, and it was just about how much of a film junkie, how much of a football head C.J. Stroud is, and I trust him so much to you know those coverages and know what he's looking at with the Bears in and out when it comes down to it, so that there's not going to be that pre-guessing. He's going to be looking at what he sees and having some idea when it rolls. Like, okay, I know what this is. I've seen this a few times, so I fully believe that he'll be ready for that. But you're right when it comes to, like, the line portion of this is going to be test number two, and I think that we have a good feeling about how the offensive line of the Texans will handle that after test number one last week, at least once they got this stabilized after the rust kind of shook off at the beginning.
And, you know, we have to mention, as you just alluded to with C.J. Stroud, what he can process, you know, command of the offense, as he's talked about all offseason and into the season, he wants to have more command. I think the fact that the Bears, you know, are a team that they like to just run, like kind of like D'Amico, they'll mix in some maybe nickel blitzes and all that, but they like to run just their base front and do some stuff with that. I think that helps C.J. Stroud, especially with these receivers who can get open. If they run a zone defense, they're going to get open. And so it's going to be very, very interesting to see how C.J. processes everything and what he sees.
Yeah, the processing will be important. And then getting peak C.J. or at least closer to peak C.J. than we got in week one, I think will also be important because there were some errant passes from C.J. in the course of game one versus Indy. And the Colts did not take advantage of that. The Bears, I think, are more apt to, although I don't know that they would, you know, tear him apart or anything. But if he's dotting them up like he did, obviously, Nico Collins on that out on the right side of the field, then we're seeing something really funny. You're neutralizing what is the best aspect of the Bears defense. One of the things, though, I will say about this Bears defense, and we're talking about what challenge they pose, what challenge I feel like they don't pose, is stopping the run, funny enough. Like, that. This is a team where the Titans were able to just completely run all over them. Tony Pollard went for 5+ carries or yards a carry as well. 16 carries, 82 yards in the course of this. And so I do think that bodes well for this idea that we have about did the run game kind of change the approach? I do think that opens up the possibility that you can use the run to soften them up or even just to, you know, take their cookies in some ways if they are posing a little bit of a problem with the pass defense.
No, and I thought they were, you know, everything that I saw, I thought they were better in the second half. As I mentioned, you know, the Titans didn't even get it past the 50-yard line. Some of that was because of Will Levis's own blunders, but if they can run the ball and the Bears don't make that adjustment, then we're really on to something with this offensive line.
So going back, we mentioned the idea of like C.J. Stroud processing. This is how he is already processing the idea of what issues the Bears defensive backfield will provide.
I mean, they play really sound. Of course, they have all the talent in the world. You know, 29 Tariq and Jalen Johnson, number one, are two great corners. They play the ball really well. Kevin Byard has been playing at a high level for a long time. So, and Briscoe played in college. He's a dog. I think they had one of the most interception rates last year, and they got two last week. So, you know, got to be cognizant of that and know that you got to be careful with the ball because, I mean, they won the game pretty much on defense last week. So, definitely a great defense, got a lot of respect for those guys, and, you know, can't wait to compete against them.
No, the Bears defense won the game. There's no question about that. And that's what we're talking about here. You know, how C.J. Stroud affects approaches it, et cetera. Really good secondary. But, again, I think it's going to be what this offensive line can do. Not just protecting, because you got Montez Sweat, and then you got, you know, a lot of other guys that can pressure the quarterback. But, as you mentioned, just running the ball.
So I asked this question to an end because on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not concerned at all, 10 being, you know, very concerned, how do you feel about this Bears defense coming in against your Texans? Obviously knowing that the secondary is their strength, but knowing that the Texans have lots and lots of answers wide receiver-wise and such.
Yeah, look, concerned, 1 to 10, I would have to say 7.
Oh, okay. That's 8, higher than I thought.
7, maybe. Only because, like, they do, like, certain guys that just are ball hawks are just always going to be ball hawks. Like, it's just going
right.
to, they're going to throw it right to you, or you're going to make a great play.
Yeah, do you have ball skills or what have you? Yeah.
One way or another, you're just going to end up with the ball. And that's a concern. But it's not a huge, huge concern because of what we saw from this offense on Sunday, but also because of C.J. Stroud. Like, C.J. Stroud, I don't know how many times I can say this week, he had a great game. It just didn't look like a typical, oh, wow, kind of C.J. Stroud game. He had a couple of balls that might have been picked or whatever. Yeah. You mentioned that. But overall, quarterback rating was off the charts. You know, the plays he made when he needed to make them in the red zone were there.
We've seen the uptick when it comes to his, you know, pocket presence and his mobility, or not necessarily mobility, but his pocket management is the word that I'm ultimately looking for.
Yeah, biding time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, this is one where is it going to be a replica of Sunday? I think only if they have the same success with Joe Mixon. I think they're going to come out and they're going to throw the ball and test that secondary.
Yeah, I found that I found your number to be interesting there because I was like, all right, looking at this team, I don't know that I'm super concerned about the defense, knowing that that's the strength that the Bears are coming with, knowing that they have the likes of Jalen Johnson, Tremaine Edmonds in the linebacking core, right? They have some names, Montez Sweat. Like, there's a name that I could really point to as a very, very good football player in this league at every level of this defense, and yet and still, I'm like, it does not really scare me. And I'm it's like, all right, if that's the case with these Texans, now where are we going to, right? Like, how many teams around the league can I possibly feel? Like, have I gotten to that place where I have that much confidence in this offense that there's not a defense that you put up against them that I go, oh, man, this could be a real, real, real issue.
Maybe the Chiefs. Maybe the Chiefs. Maybe a couple of others. I guess it comes back to they were facing Will Levis.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here.
We have to do the caveat once more?
No, we have to be honest.
It was we're 1 week out of 17. Yeah, we have to do that one time.
No, it's not even that. It's like Will Levis still has a lot to prove, and Will Levis still can burp up a play like he did that really turned this game. I don't feel like C.J. Stroud is going to do that. There are going to be some great defensive secondaries that he's going to face. I don't know if this one would classify as great, but it's dang good. But he's C.J. Stroud. He's not Will Levis.
So there you go. Obviously, defensive secondary is the big thing.
Yeah.
The idea of being a takeover defense, something that we're hoping that the Texans can be this year, that's something that we know that the Bears can be as well. And so that's something that I think that's the big challenge that we're looking at.
Yeah.
And I think that you have all the potential answers in your hand of cards when it comes to the Texans with C.J. Stroud, all of the wide receivers, tight ends, those running back, Joe Mixon, and, of course, Bobby Slowick. Orchestrating it all. It's In the Loop. Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions as we typically do. We'll do that next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions. Brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, so I'm not proud of this. I'm not very proud.
That's always a great way to start. Oh, my. All right, let's lock in. Some fun's about to happen.
I'm not proud of this, but I kind of wanted to see what would have happened yesterday evening had I let my 20-month-old granddaughter throw hands with another toddler.
Hey, yo.
Oh, man.
What? Yeah. Are you? I wouldn't have said this out loud. Are you for real right now?
Dirty grandpa in the building.
What?
No. Let me
this man doing toddler fights.
Yeah, you part of the problem.
Is this confessions or not? Because let me lay it out.
You're right.
Let me lay it out.
Was it the big granddaughter?
The one with the long legs.
Oh, man.
Is she a kicker?
She's like long. She's 20 months old and she looks like a 3-year-old.
Yeah, no, but is she a kicker then?
No, she's not a kicker. She's the sweetest. Part of it is because I've never seen this side of her at all, ever.
Okay.
Nothing.
All right.
Like the sweetest hugs, kisses, you know, laughing and all that.
But don't make her angry.
Here's the thing, Figgy. We got her one of those little bicycle things that you can use your feet to pedal yourself.
They call those striders?
Yeah, whatever those are called.
It's a strider bike.
A strider bike. Mm-hmm. So we took her out front. And she is like top of the world, like the greatest day of my life, going up and down the sidewalk. The neighbor and their toddler, who's I think 1 month younger than her, comes out. And I was just trying to be nice. I said, hey, does Winston want to get on the bike?
You know,
his name was Winston.
Unbelievable.
I didn't use the last name.
Just letting people know.
So I pick up my granddaughter. Put Winston on the bike, and she freaks out. No. And she starts squirming, trying to jump out of my arms as I'm holding her. No. And I started laughing, and Winston rode it a little bit, and their parents were like, we'll go on now. We can let Winston ride on on our walk or whatever. But part of me was like, I wonder what would have happened if I would have let her down. Would she have thrown hands with Winston?
Y'all are wild from the 8-2. What's the spread on the toddler fight? All right. Okay.
Dude, we were laughing. Like, Natalie, what happened? Why are you acting like that? You got to share all that good stuff. No.
That's right.
She looked like Kurt Russell in Tombstone. Remember when he gets into the guy in the water and just starts blasting away?
No.
I wonder what would have happened. Maybe she would have given him a hug.
I'm amazed. You really did start there. All right. I started giving you a little bit of this confession last segment. I'm concerned that I'm already doing the overlook thing. With the Bears.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And I guess let me go ahead and get my wallet out because last year I found myself doing this, or maybe not just last year, just in general, I found myself doing this with the Cowboys. And, you know, the Texans are not the Cowboys. I want that to be clear. But where you're like, I feel strongly about the pieces that we're talking about, that this game that is on paper, clearly one team is better. Yeah, we can just this is going to be how it happens, and inevitably, as sports does, humbles you, where you're like, oh no, that game was either more difficult than it should have been, or God forbid, you end up losing a game, and you're like, oh, I did that thing where I trusted too highly in my thoughts of what this team is or what have you, right? And I'm kind of concerned that I'm starting to do that because, as we mentioned, like the defense is something to be reckoned with for these Bears. So I'm like, I feel like I'm concerned because I don't have any fear when it comes to these Bears.
You're good. You shouldn't have any fear. You shouldn't. I think the Texans are going to go 4-0. I don't know. That's you can all.
I heard him say 6-0.
I said 5-1 at one point, but I think they're going to start 4-0. It can humble you, like you said, but nah, you're good. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I got to confess, I had no idea the VMAs was on last night, man.
Uh-huh.
And it got me questioning, like, why in the hell are y'all coming on a random Wednesday like this, man? Mm-hmm.
That is real. I saw it happen, and I was like, huh. And my brain did not think about the fact that it's not a weekend. Like, typically, I'm used to award shows happening
Mondays. Sundays or Mondays, yeah.
And I don't know. I guess maybe I don't care as much for it. And even when I seen some people live tweeting it, I'm still like, I'm cool, man.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm in on this.
Yeah, it's past my time. I did see, I guess, Katy Perry perform.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang, she's still performing? Mm-hmm. So I guess it was kind of...
Wait, why'd you say that? Like, was she supposed to stop? How old is she? You said it like she was like 60-something.
Oh, no. She haven't came out with nothing recently in a long time. I think the last couple things she tried to release, it didn't really hit. Mm-hmm. But I think this one was a salute to Katy Perry. Because she had a nice little she had a strong run.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really interested, man.
I mean, I just looked at the cuts, you know, the clips and highlights and stuff. You're right.
But we used to be glued into award shows, man. Like,
I think that it
3-4 hours.
There's a lot of them, and there's only some of them that really matter. And maybe this is right. S. Dawkins on the Twitch says VMAs are not for anyone over 30.
Yeah,
that's quite possible, right? So there's some of them, like some award shows, especially the ones that you're used to seeing on like a Sunday. I'll pop it on.
Yeah.
But I'm not on a Wednesday. I don't think I'm just turning in to.
Taylor Swift did well, by the way.
Did she perform?
I saw. She won like video of the year.
That's where that one audio.
No kidding.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Big surprise.
Oh,
shocker.
She won something. Okay.
Shocker.
Wow. Yeah. They saying you old fig. I think that's what they saying. That's what you're, it's proved by the fact that you're not watching the VMAs. Watch this. These
are my confessions. All right. So I know Figgy's mixtape is going to get into this a little more, but Shannon Sharp had a day yesterday.
Buddy did.
He had a day. And I got to tell you, next time I see or if I see Shannon Sharp again, I'm going to have to mention this to him. I loved the way that he owned it.
Yeah.
The way that he leaned into it. How many times have you guys told me? Because, yeah, and at first, I mean, he didn't at first. His first reaction was, oh, I've been hacked and everybody's rolling their eyes and all that. But not 100% of the time, but more times than not, 90% maybe. It's always better to lean into stuff like this. And yes, I was stupid, fall on the sword, et cetera, et cetera. And I know Figgy's going to have more for you later. But for me,
play the actual audio.
Oh no. Oh no. Somebody said, what's wrong with Shay Shay? I mean, apparently nothing, but you know, he was doing an activity that, you know, when a man and a woman love each other that they do.
Yeah.
And he happened to
Birds
also be on
bees.
Yeah, I happened to actually also be on Instagram Live, so a lot of people heard him do the action.
But
that
here's
you do.
The other thing about it. And tell me if you don't think this is the case. There's always going to be a few outliers. But I think for the most part now, it's over. People are going to say, you know, like, okay.
Man, with the way, with the way that our news cycle works, there's something else to take the place very, very soon.
Yeah.
Very soon. Watch this. These are my confessions. Myself and Figgy were having a conversation earlier today because if you are watching us on the YouTube or the Twitch, you will see that I'm no longer rocking the Cam Akers. The hair is actually braided up and need to go to a barber. Fig was with me and Fig were just having a nice human-to-human conversation about barbers. And that reminded me of a stance that I believe very strongly. I believe you should cheat on your barber. And You're conflicted, aren't you?
Hey, some people cheat on their wives, but barbers is no.
You can cheat on your wife, just not your barber.
Not your barber, man.
Yeah, in some communities that's a wild thing that what I just said. However, and Fig, I believe you will agree with me here. Your barber, when you first get that barber, they're trying to keep your business.
Of course,
they're giving you the A+ cut all the time. Barbers, like sometimes spouses,
they can get
real comfortable, and sometimes the love and affection will go down, and in that way it's the type quality of cut. Sometimes you're getting a B cut, a B minus cut, God forbid a C cut, and if that's happening, I say go get another barber. Like just go to another barber, and you might even go to that another barber, come back to your barber, and let them see that you've been stepping out, because they might need to step their game up to keep you as a customer. Then you get the A+.
I actually like this take.
You see?
I like this confession.
You see?
Because
that's how they get you.
A lot of times, and then they'll start maybe slacking a little bit.
You see it.
You know, and you're like, now I got to stay with this cat, you know.
It's good and comfortable, right? You know the person. You understand the back and forth. All of that's cool. But if you want to make sure that A+ cut still keeps coming, when you see that slack, go ahead and step out.
And sometimes it just be the crispiness. Ain't there no
it's
more.
It's not there.
It's a little dull.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to tell them, like, hey, get this part right here. Or when you got to do all that.
It's a lot, man.
And you leave the chair just kind of like, it's like, I don't feel like a new man.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel like I need to run some errands right now.
I think this is a solid confession. I really do.
Yeah. That's something people don't really admit either.
Mm-hmm.
So, some people don't admit it, but it's definitely true.
I think there's your utility to cheating on your barber. Richard P. asked, do you cheat on in the same shop, though? That might be a little much.
No.
That's too much.
You can't
do
that.
Well, I like her over there. I like that guy over there.
Nah, you can't do that. It's time. Like, the only time you can do that is if your barber is out and he said, hey, go to this person in here. then that's kind of keeping the money in the family a little bit. But nah, you can't just walk in and be like, hey, I'm going to homeboy over here. And just leave your barber.
Just walk by him.
Yeah. Oh no, I set an appointment with him. Nah, you can't right do that.
Now you causing fights in the barbershop because you want to be petty. That's a lot.
Yeah. Nah. They're gonna be cussing, discussing that one.
Yeah, they are. Watch this. These are my
confessions. Man, I'm a little bit offended at ESPN's DJ Bienemann.
I just answered him.
Did you?
I did. Okay. but explain.
So, one of my favorite things on social media is when they tweet out throwback videos and songs that you forgot about. And one of the songs was Lil Flip, I Could Do That.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of took me down memory lane. I'm like, dang, I'm like, this song was so hard. I remember everyone playing this song when I was in seventh grade.
Yeah.
And so he responded and said, seventh grade in 2000. And it didn't catch on to me that he was trying to call me old. Yeah. I thought I had my years wrong when the song was released.
Yeah.
And I said I was in seventh grade in 2002.
Yeah.
So that's when I heard the song. So that's why I thought he was getting that. I thought he was about to say, no, that song. He was calling me old.
That's right.
You old.
That's right.
I'm like, man,
he was
brother.
Calling you old.
Like, and look, I don't feel offended. Really?
Little offended. You kind of do. I can see that. I can see you're a little offended.
No, I feel actually flattered because he probably thought I was like his age or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
No, you're offended.
not really. Not really. I feel good when somebody called me a little old because I usually don't get that.
That's a good way of handling it.
I never get that.
Yeah.
But for the simple fact.
I had your back, Figgy.
Did you? What you say?
I just tweeted him not even a minute ago because it reminded me. I said, man, if middle school in 02 is old, guess what years I was in? and then I said, hint, FDR was not president.
Hey, yo. Hey. Oh, my God.
Hey, while he talking, he probably wasn't even born when September 11 happened.
How old
so
is
he
DJ?
Ain't even got no memory of September 11.
DJ's not that young, is he?
He probably is.
He's right around
He was born. He's probably born in 02.
Nah, a little bit. I'm going to say 98.
98. Yeah. Oh, he definitely don't remember September 11th. Then no, he was born in 98.
No. It's the soaring ignorance of youth. I mean, I don't know if you've seen on social media the various different pieces of content that like teams will do with their players, where they'll ask them like, what age is constituting old?
Yeah.
And the numbers that they throw out there, you're like, hey, all right, give it a couple years and you will be changing your tune.
Yeah.
But see, I'm a tell him what older people told me when I was his age. You gonna get this age pretty soon.
Oh yeah,
it's right behind you, buddy. You're gonna be this age real soon.
Somebody said, wait for the first time you called Unc, Figgy. Have you already gotten an Unc?
Hey, I'm an uncle.
I mean when I say Unc as opposed to uncle.
Ain't nobody called me Uncle. Okay. I do kind of get offended because I used to work at a high school and people used to call me Sir. That used to offend me a little bit. Like, dog, I was like 26, 27 around that time. Don't call me sir.
So DJ was a senior at Louisville in 2018.
Dog, he is a kid, man. Can he drink?
Wow.
Yeah. Drink?
Y'all doing a lot right now.
Hey, my man can't even get a rental car right now, man.
Now that's true.
He can't get no rental car.
That's what, when you get cracked on, go ahead and crack back. Go ahead and tell him to stop by Avis for you.
Hey, spend $500 on insurance to get that rental car then, buddy. Because you damn sure.
Ooh, I just thought about it. His insurance in Houston has to be crazy. His car insurance? Oh, my God.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. My man can't go to rent. He can't go to Enterprise. Man. Crazy. You got to be over 27, buddy.
Shout out to DJ, though. Great piece on CJ Stroud that you should read.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you don't have another confession here, Lopez?
I do not.
Okay. All right. No problem. I was like.
Although I have a mini one.
Okay. Sure.
Like. Go ahead. I've always wished that I could do my hair like you did yours.
I do the
should try.
The braids.
No, back
braids.
In the day, I could have. Like, you've seen me pictures of me in middle and high school. I had, like, basically...
You had the Drake...
Basically a fro. Afro. Yeah. Because I do have... Well, not now, but I do have very curly hair, and it grew out. I used to have a pick. Yeah, I used to have a pick when I was in high school.
Soul brother John Lopez.
Yeah, but it was just more, like, out.
Did you have the pick with the fist on it?
No, I didn't have that one. It was a green, you know those plastic regular O's, a green. Yeah. pick that I had, mostly until like 10th grade.
Lopez was using Murray's.
The lifetime supply, which is one can.
But that's just something, I mean, it's just out of my realm. I mean, I wish, because for those who aren't watching on YouTube, you got your hair did. Yeah.
I did. I sure did. Shout out to Charles Kirkwood on the YouTube, who said, the fact that you guys went to insurance prices only proves that you're old enough to have real life problems and issues. Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's some lunchtime confessions here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. We as a show now have to get back and start cracking on DJ, make sure he feel young. All right, coming up next, let's do our Thursday staple now, cap or no cap. There's various situations in sports. Are they being for real or nah? We'll talk about that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. We are obviously, as always, we have middays and we lead into the drive. It's a Thirsty Thursday, so they're actually on location today. Buffalo Wild Wings in Katy, 19910 Park Row Boulevard. So that's in Katy, doing that today. And you'll want to hang out with the fellas because a lot of things are getting given away. Bud Light is giving away a couple of tickets to Texans Bears. So, you know, if you haven't gotten that squared away.
Oh, that's all.
Maybe go see the fellas, see if you can get those. Plus, entry for two to the Bud Light tailgate party as well. Man. So that'd be fun. Not it, though. Giving away two $25 gift cards as well. Texans autographed items. And then also, Titus Howard will join the show at 2:15. So a lot of things popping with the fellas out at Buffalo Wild Wings and Katy. You want to, one, tap into the show, but two, if possible, go out and see the fellas out there. So yeah, that's a fun thing that's going to be coming up later. Coming up right now is a segment we like to call Cap or No Cap. And before we get going on that, I want to turn to the text line where y'all have been, one, cracking me up, and two, getting involved as you always should be. 713-572-4610. And shout out to the 713 who texted and said, guys, I'm 59 years old. I'm young at heart, but I'm still confused as hell. How does cap correlate to a lie? Me and my wife are still perplexed. And let me tell you, it's probably easier if you don't try and understand it to that degree. And I say that like, I don't, you know, really fully understand how we got to cap meaning a lie, but you know, that's kind of how sometimes slang progresses.
No idea. I haven't even thought about it.
It's kind of how slang progresses sometimes. It's just you find out that this is what it means. You're just like, let's run with it because that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, like, do you have any insight here, Fig?
Where cap started?
Yeah. Now,
I know back in my day.
That's right.
I know when I was younger.
Here we go again.
Yeah. When I was younger, we used it for a different thing. I don't know if it was like a Cleveland term or what, but we used to say capping.
Yeah.
So like capping was like fronting.
Yeah.
So not necessarily a lot, but it was kind of like
it's close enough. It's adjacent.
Yeah. It was kind of like we used to call something called cap rap.
Yeah.
So it would be people that rap about stuff that's not necessarily true, but yeah, I don't know. It was weird, but it was pretty much like fronting.
Yeah, and I don't know if I have a exact just no.
AI has a theory.
Buddy, I ain't goodness. Listening. Unless it's Allen Iverson, I ain't listening to it.
The term's origins are uncertain, but of course they are. It has its origins in capping, as you just talked about, which was a 1940s, it started in the 1940s.
Oh, goodness.
In other words, to top or to surpass. So like by topping someone, you're kind of lying. You're kind of lying, you know.
Maybe like a story topper.
Yeah,
and then all right.
Story topper.
I don't believe that.
I don't think that helps at all.
Yeah, I don't think we were using that because back in 1940.
Yeah.
Nah, man.
Yeah, because our parents started from there.
Our parents wasn't using cap or a cap in.
I know I wasn't.
Yeah. All right, so with that being the case, let's do some cap or no cap. I don't know if that helped at all.
Lie or no lie.
Lie or no lie.
Yes, less than sincere or sincere. Cap or no cap. Kyle Shanahan, and this is going to be a Monday night game, I believe. He said he is not considering putting Christian McCaffrey on the IL. McCaffrey also says he is, quote, ready to go. Now, here's where my answer is going to come from, but I do need to share this with you. He has been diagnosed with Achilles tendonitis. Cap or no cap, they're going to put him on the IL, and McCaffrey is good to go.
I love that you're so baseball-pilled that you're calling it the IL.
IR, whatever.
I think I think it's no cap. I think that they're really going to try and do this off of the strength and not put him on the IR. He means so much to the way that they do things, and I know that our guy Jordan Mason really came out and played really well. which is a testament to the scheme. But McCaffrey does so much more. I think that they're gonna try. Although they probably should, because the idea that McCaffrey stays healthy for another full season is a far-fetched.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say no cap. I think I don't know how serious the injury is, but I think he trying to see how. Like, I don't want to say quick he could come back, mm-hmm. but I think he's a competitor, man. I think he's trying to keep that competitive advantage. Let's keep him out for a couple weeks and see what happens. Because if we put him on the IL, then everybody know and it's over at that point.
That's a 4-week stint, ain't it?
It is.
Going IR?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say cap, though, and the reason is it Dr. Chow on the NFL guy?
Is it Dr. Cho?
Yeah. Anyway,
it might be Chow. I'm bugging.
One of the respected NFL doctors, I think his Twitter is at
Pro NFL, Football Doc.
At Pro Football Doc, said that Achilles tendonitis is oftentimes a precursor to an Achilles tear.
David J. Chow.
Yeah, Dr. Chow. And I'm like, well, they know this. They're not going to risk Christian McCaffrey. They're going to put him on the IR, or they're going to at least sit him for another week. So I'm going to say cap on that. Brian Daboll, talking about Daniel Jones, says, quote, benching him is not on my mind.
I think this is no cap. I think,
oh, God.
I think,
how?
I think that, who you got?
Well, there is that.
Right? Like, maybe Drew Locke, and Drew Locke may be a possibility. Mm-hmm. I think. If you plan Drew Locke over the $40 million guy, especially early on in the season, I think it gets real nasty. Remember that mm-hmm. this was a fan base that, and of course there are different dynamics that impact here, but they damn near wanted to throw a riot when they benched Eli Manning for Geno Smith.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? And they wanted to put, what was it, McAdoo? The coach at that point,
Brian McAdoo, wasn't it, or something?
Bob Bill, something like that. Some generic
Bob
name.
Was my era, great shooter, fadeaway jumper.
That's true. That's true. That was Hooper. But they wanted to put him Ben McAdoo. That's what it was.
Yeah.
They wanted to put him on spits, like they wanted to turn him into a luau pig or something mm-hmm. like that, right? Mm-hmm. Because of that. So yeah, that fan base, I don't think takes kindly to. Although it doesn't seem like they're super happy with Daniel Jones.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna say that's cap.
Yeah.
I think he's thinking of it. He's probably thinking of another option, but I don't think he have another option.
He's got to be thinking about it.
Yeah, and I think professionally he won't say, "Yeah, I'm thinking about going somewhere else."
Yeah.
I think he got a cap on this answer, but I think he got to be thinking of something else, man.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it at least has to be on his mind.
It got to be on his mind.
So Browns have a running back named Jerome Ford. You might be familiar with his work. He was asked about Deshaun Watson. And he said this.
He's a warrior, hand bleeding. You know, you just seeing him take those hits. Of course, we don't like it. We don't want him to be hit. And we as a team, you know, wide receivers, running backs, offensive line, we all have to make sure, you know, wide receivers on their hots, O-line making sure, you know, me and the O-line, we're making sure that we have it picked up. And, you know, he's just a warrior, man. You know, just even when we down, you know, just making sure, like, you know, come on, guys, let's go. Like, get on the ball. Let's do it. Like, move fast. You know, even when we down that much, just seeing him work, and, you know, seeing him fight for those extra yards, take hits from, you know, some of the best DNs in you know, our league, you know, it just shows you what kind of guy he is.
Called him a warrior twice, Deshaun Watson. This is after the game now. Cap or no cap?
The cap really came in at the very end, shows you what kind of guy he is. Oh, buddy, that feels like a tough one to make walk in this day and age.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to say cap, too. Honestly, he when he mentioned, oh, he's taking all these hits, I feel like he's trying to take these hits so he could get out the game. So,
yeah. Wow.
So it won't be a thing where Deshaun quit on his team or Deshaun didn't want to go in the game or anything like that. If he get hurt, then he can say, I'm hurt. I can't play.
It's cap. They have no choice but to say something like that at this point. The money involved, he's their quarterback. It doesn't look like anything's going to change, at least until Tony Busby might have a say in it. I don't blame him. He had to. All right, cap or no cap, while we're still talking on Deshaun Watson. He said he found out about the latest lawsuit the same time the rest of us did.
That's cap.
Yeah, that feels like it's got to be cap. I feel like I'm not well versed in the processes that exist with being charged being the defendant in a lawsuit of this case, sort. Yeah. But I have a strong feeling that there's some level of, you know, acknowledgement and announcement to your legal team that I imagine ultimately gets back to you. Like, I just can't imagine that that's how that worked.
Yeah, I think it's cap. I think, and look, I don't take none of these lawyers too serious because I think they all be capping, a.k.a. lying. But I think Tony Busby mentioned how they were trying to work some stuff out behind the scenes.
Yes, that's why it's cap. That's what I was talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it's no way that, I guess, Rusty Hart didn't tell Deshaun what was going on
exactly,
at all.
Exactly.
So he knew it was going on. It's just now getting to the light.
Yeah, I can't even add anything to that. That's exactly what I was going to say, Figgy. All right, Kyler Murray. He said it is, quote, not my job to get the ball to Marvin Harrison Jr. He said it all depends on the next read and the play call. He said he basically took it all off himself. It's not my job. That's a direct quote to get the ball to Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, no, that's cap.
It's your job description. Hey,
now,
it's not my job to take y'all to break. Yeah. It's time to go to break.
Right. I think he might have been able to make this a more palatable statement by saying it's not my job to force him the football.
Yes.
But no, this is part of, especially a good quarterback, one that is like a field general or whatever, is understanding those elements of it, right? It's also like, not only is it going through the reads and getting the ball to the right place, but knowing how to keep various people involved in the game and keeping them, you know, active, especially when that dude profiles to be your best wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is part of your job.
It's your job.
Yeah, that is cap, man. What, like, why would a quarterback say something
like
that?
It's not my job, man. Oh, throw the ball to the wide receiver? Not your job? Okay.
Yeah, that feels like, did we skip media training on
what is going
on Kyler? That feels
do
like
we
something
know he's
should...
a quarterback and what his job is.
Is he a guard? I mean, what is going on?
Yeah, he plays safety apparently.
Exactly.
I've been watching a little bit too much of Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
What's going on back there?
I'm just focused on my job. That is a different department, sir.
That's pretty good. All right, one more on a quarterback here. Joe Burrow. We've seen the videos. I'm sure you guys have. He couldn't lift up a Gatorade bottle or had looked awkward lifting up a Gatorade bottle, been shaking out his wrist a lot. He said that it is absolutely not, is his quote, affecting his throwing.
Come on, dude. Come on, man. Why, that's just a bridge too far. Mm-hmm. Like, you could say it's not affecting it in a large way.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. You're insulting our intelligence.
Yes, that's cap. That's your right wrist, man. Mm-hmm. That's the wrist you throw the ball with, man. I think so, man. And I think the Bengals going to be in for a long season, man.
Yep. All right, one more quick one here. We've heard it today. The Astros will be starting in about half an hour or so. No, about 20 minutes or so. But Joe Espada said he is, quote, not too concerned about Jose Altuve's injury.
Feels like that has to be cap, just with the number of injuries that this team has dealt with and for various people, and it feels like now it's injury whack-a-mole and now it pops up. That should be some concerning, right?
Yeah, nah, I think it should be cap if it's not, because they said the same thing about Kyle Tucker, and he was out for 2 or 3 months. So, yeah, I will be concerned just as a human.
I would be concerned if he misses more than one game. You know, even if you know he's going to be fine in 3 games, just because
workload,
yes,
exactly, age factors.
So I'm going to say cap as well.
Okay, all right. That's a little cap or no cap on a Thursday here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's dig a little deeper into this Texans Bears game. Who's going to eat on your Texans? We'll break all of that down next.